What's up, everyone? Welcome to Metalcore Nerds. I'm Sean Mott, your host. Today is a little bit of an extra episode for the week, a little bit of a throwback format. I got my friend Joey Lanzalotto here. What's up, man? How you doing?
Not too bad, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Recording this on a Sunday, easy day. Just knocking out two podcasts today, recording and
there we go.
Preparing for the week, I guess.
It's a big week.
It is a big week. So if you don't know who Joey is a graphic designer. He's also a booking agent, and he used to play in the hardcore, metalcore, wherever you want to put it under, band Mistgiver from upstate New York. We've known each other a pretty long time.
I mean, it seems like I was trying to figure it out. I was like, when did I actually meet Sean? Like, we were definitely internet friends before we met in real life. But I think it was that weird show in Elmira where you guys played that little, like, it was like Thoughts in Reverse. And something in like 2013, I want to say, maybe.
Did we meet at the iMatter that we played? Or were you not there?
No, I actually had to leave that one early because I had a wedding to go to. So you were there, and I was like, I'll probably meet Sean today. And then I just didn't. and then we had you guys back a couple months later at that little tiny venue.
That was a weird show.
Yeah, that was a weird show. I mean, that room was cool, but the lineups like never made sense. You'd have like a hardcore band and some like death metal band and like it was some like dad rock band. It was always weird lineups around here.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the status quo for small towns. You know, you don't have a plethora of bands to throw on each genre of show. You just have what you have and you just put them together.
do you scream once in a while? Okay, cool, you can play this show.
I mean it's not like us and Thoughts in Reverse really sounded like, but we played shows with Taylor all the time.
That show was fun. It was packed in a little tiny room.
Me and Corey from Thoughts in Reverse just made weird jokes at each other all night.
I miss Corey.
Normal
good guy.
So today we're going to talk about a little bit. We're both graphic designers. We've both been doing it probably close to the same amount of time. And we're both kind of in oddly similar positions in the graphic design world, I guess. I guess as far as you can go as success or whatever. We're both kind of at the same level, I guess I would say. And we both probably had very different journeys, I would think. But before we get into that, what have you been like watching? I mean, obviously it's been the year of consuming content for most people. So is there anything you've been watching that you've been super into, or like movies you saw that you've liked recently, or like books or comics or whatever?
I don't think I've watched like a new movie. I don't think I've watched any this year really. Cause I do miss movie theaters a lot. Like I've barely watched any new movies this year. I've been doing a lot of documentaries and then like some like older shows to go back and watch. Like my wife and I caught up on, we never watched Shameless until this year. So we watched that and that's in the final season now. And we also just started How I Met Your Mother, which we never watched before. so we've been cruising through that, but pretty much anything new on Disney Plus, obviously WandaVision and Mandalorian. You know, we rewatched season one before season two, and you know, WandaVision's been incredible so far. And everything else coming out this year, like there's so much Marvel content this year. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's pretty much feeling this entire podcast is going to be Marvel this year.
So yeah,
I'm not mad about it. No. You know me. I love Marvel.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's going to be a good year for that.
Yeah, 100%. How I Met Your Mother, love that show to death.
We're just about halfway through season three. So
okay.
We're getting into some real good stuff.
Not weird after like season four, but not as good, I guess.
Interesting. I feel like it's peaking right now. Like we're watching like episode. I'm like, man, that one was better than the last one, and this one was better than the last one. Like
three and four are like really good.
Good. Well, at least I have some, you know, like 30 good episodes left.
The way it ends though, it's gonna make you very mad.
I heard the ending is very controversial. One of my friends who suggested to me is like he's like a TV savant, apparently. Like he's very, and you know, he's like, it's a deeper meaning. And you know, I wasn't as mad about it as some other people, but almost everyone else I've talked to has been like, the ending sucks. So
it's not actual ending that makes me mad. It's just a lot of things feel, I'm not going to spoil anything, but a lot of things feel very rushed in the last three episodes. And there's an alternate ending that just after you watch it, YouTube, How I Met Your Mother alternate ending. And after you watch that, you'll be very upset because that ending makes so much more sense.
Okay. All right.
Like I'm usually the guy that everyone that thinks it's a terrible ending, I'm the guy that says, no, it's fine. It's like, it makes sense. Like the ending of Dexter, don't mind it. I'm like, I swear to God, I'm the only person on the planet who doesn't mind the ending of Dexter.
I think that's a universally hated thing.
Yeah. The last two seasons, pretty fucking weird. But the ending, the actual ending, makes complete sense to me. I don't know. Even the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
People eyes it.
I never actually watched Game of Thrones. So I was going to watch before the last season. And then I like saw like the reactions of the first couple episodes. And I was like, man, this seems like a bad time to get into this.
I will say it's probably, even though the last season is so hated, it's probably one of the best TV shows ever made.
Because up until the last season, it was like universally accepted as like the best show on TV.
Yeah, like, it gives you such a feeling with TV that no other show has ever given me. Like Sam and I binged all of it after the series ended. So we just watched all of it straight through. And maybe that's part of why, because I know there was like a 2-season gap between season 7 and season 8.
And yeah, it took forever.
Such a letdown for people that I understand why people are upset about that.
Yeah. I
think the biggest thing to me, and this is what I always say, is that the ending of Game of Thrones made sense. And that's not the point of Game of Thrones. It's almost like everything comes at you and it's a crazy twist and none of it makes sense. And that's kind of the allure of the show, is that, oh fuck, I can't believe that happened. And then the ending of the series is like, oh, I can't believe all that happened. Huh. I guess
it's weird they would do that in the last season. Like they would just try to make it make sense at the end.
I don't know. There's that so many fan theories that are like, I would have done this. And I'm like, yeah, that would have been really cooler. Like a lot cooler, but I don't think it was terrible. Like everyone's saying it's the worst season of TV. No, it's just not as good as it's not up to par with the rest of the series. That's how I
if that was like a middle season, I feel like it wouldn't have gotten as much flack.
Yeah, maybe it would still, I think they would have lost people in the middle if they went that way, you know, because it would have been like, oh, all these seasons are amazing. And then it starts getting whatever. Then people would have been like, because that's like every TV show, you know,
it's like
good for 3 or 4 seasons. And after that, it's kind of like, it's here. Yeah,
it's tough to keep fans all the way through, especially if you hit even like the slightest bump.
I'm almost done with Mr. Robot.
Oh, I've watched that.
Which, it's insane. I don't even, I say it's like something in TV form, but I don't even want to say it because it spoils the first season. But it's on Amazon Prime if you need a new show to watch.
I do.
It's kind of it's very weird in a way, but it's super interesting.
Is it like crazy sci-fi or is it like...
No, it's about like this, Rami Malek is the star of it, which is awesome.
Oh, cool.
And he's like a computer hacker almost.
Interesting.
And I can't really give much more away without spoiling a lot of it.
No, I don't want to spoil it, but it's, I'm in if he's in it.
Dude, he's obviously, he won an Oscar and everything, so I can't say he's underrated, but I think he's kind of underrated.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So good in the show, and there's that new movie, The Little Things, that's HBO. I think actually Sam and I are gonna go see it in the theaters because we can go to theaters here, and no one goes to theaters where we're from anyway. So the couple movies we went to, there's been no one in the theaters. Like we saw Wonder Woman 84 in the theaters, we saw Tenet in the theaters a few months ago when theaters first started opening up, and there was like no, it's like having a theater to yourself. So I'm like,
I think ours are opening up soon. I don't know. They just removed all the restrictions here, like the yellow and orange zones. But I feel like those are all made up in the first place. I don't even know. There's no rules anymore.
I mean, Syracuse was in the orange and everything was still open pretty much.
Yeah.
So
I went up there to the Christmas shop and I think I texted John before I went up and I was like, hey, is like everything like open up there? Like, what's the deal? He's like, yeah, he's like, it's the orange zone, but there's no rules. I was like, all right, well, I guess we'll see how it goes.
So I don't know. But yeah, I know everyone's like worried about going and doing stuff, but if it's, I'm in an empty theater, like I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm
fine. I feel like that's pretty, yeah. Or, not a huge risk there in the empty theater.
Yeah. Wonder Woman 84, I think max capacity is like 15 people in the theater or something.
Oh yeah.
It's like 20% or something like that. And there was maybe like 2 other groups in the theater, but they're so far away from you. It's like, there's no one there.
Yeah.
So,
as long as everyone has like their mask on the whole time, I feel like it shouldn't
be that weird. It was fine. And like you see them come in and clean everything right when you're done and all that. There's one in Syracuse called Movie Tavern where they tape off everything after they clean it. They put this like tape over it. You have to like lift up the tape.
Oh.
To like
sit there. They've been doing that with like hotel rooms. Like saying that these have been like cleaned and you open it up and like rips a sticker or whatever.
Which is like people are putting the necessary precautions in, which I'm fine with. I mean, Sam works fucking retail and is with people, you know, every day.
She kind of works at a bank. She has people down here all the time who come in just because they have like dividers up, they'll like pull their mask down to talk through the divider and just, I can't do it. I've never been happier to work at home.
Damn, it's so funny when like the work from home stuff happens. I was like, I've been training for this for like a year.
That's what I'm saying. I've been doing it for years now. Like, I'm set
to go.
Not that big of a change. Her branch was like, they were all in like quarantine for like 2 weeks when it first started because one of her coworkers thought she might have had it. So look, I'm just like working here every day, and like she was here every day. She's like, "What do you do all day?" I'm like, "I'll sit here and work, and you know, wait for you to get home." Pretty much, like, it's not that not that weird for me, at least.
Yeah, I just work, and you know, the biggest thing I've learned during quarantine is to if you feel burnt out, just stop working.
Yeah.
That's been. We'll talk more about it. Yeah, about the quarantine or the COVID work life, I guess. But we'll talk about that a little later. But that's been my biggest thing is I think I've been burning myself out too much in like the last like 10 years of my life.
Say that again.
So now it's like if I feel like I'm stuck, or even there's some days where obviously trying to be creative every day is hard in any in any capacity of anything, you know, whether you're an illustrator or a designer or content creator or whatever. It's hard, and especially when it's your everyday thing. Some days you wake up and it's just not there, and it's like why am I going to sit here and try and force something out when really in reality it can wait a day. Or like 2 days, or you know, it's you just trying to get the upper hand on stuff, and it's it's the biggest thing I've learned is like everything can wait a day, you know. Yeah,
especially like personal projects. Like I'll have if I'm getting a lot of orders that are in the same realm, like I need to break you know that rut that I'm in, so I'll try to make something creative that I want to make. You know, like I was like I would wish a client would order something like this, and I will make it, but then I'll hate it and I'll look at it for like 2 days and it'll just piss me off. I'll be mad at myself for the rest of the day. I'm like, I did this to myself. Like, why should I be mad?
On the days where I'm feeling super whatever, like I'll just go through emails and make sure. And if there's any like tedious kind of mindless design work, which I end up having to do a lot of, I guess I'm just really good at that kind of stuff. And I'll just get that done because it doesn't really take anything creative.
Yeah.
You know, knock that out. knock that out. Boom, come back the next day, and usually it's way better than me trying to, like, you know, power through something and rack my brain, and then you're just burnt out for the rest of the day. There's no point in it.
It spills over the next day, too. I'll be sitting, you know, on my couch at night trying to relax, like, watch a TV show or whatever, and I'm just, like, thinking about how I wasted my day. It drives me nuts.
Exactly. So let's go back to where all this started for both of us.
Yeah.
So do you remember what got you into graphic design?
Yeah. So in high school, I was actually going to BOCES to do like video work. And I realized shortly after high school, or even when I was about to get out of high school, that I couldn't afford the proper equipment for video work. But I did a lot of, you know, design stuff on the side. So I was playing in, you know, crappy high school bands, or I was, you know, making our logos and our show flyers that we never even like played or anything. I wish I could find some of the old stuff. Actually, I know it's not good. it's like, oh, cool, I found the bevel tool. But like, there's a lot of stuff like that. But I started just doing, you know, doing random stuff for bands or my own bands and like a couple of my friends who were in other like high school jam bands. And I got into, you know, just wanting to do that. It was always cool. Like I grew up, you know, listening to tons of bands and my dad, like seeing all his cool band shirts. Like his favorite band was Kiss. So they always had like some crazy designs. And I was like, yeah, these shirts are cool. Like, I want to make them. And it sort of just snowballed into me actually finding a way into everything.
Oh, it's kind of similar with me. I was like 16. I went to my first local show in Watertown. And then after that, I just wanted to do anything I could to help with like the music scene. Like I would help people pass out flyers at the mall. And then eventually I was like, oh, I think I can like help make flyers. So I made same thing. Like, I'm sure I could find them. And they were really bad.
I found my first flyer the other day. I was actually going through it for like the first flyer that someone actually paid me for. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I can't believe.
I don't think anyone paid me for in the middle or like in the beginning. It was just me like, hey, I'll do this for you. Just like let me in for free or whatever.
Well, it was a thing where like I was told I was going to be paid for it, and I didn't actually be paid for it. But it was, I mean, it was, I did I mean, that was my start though. I was just doing flyers for shows that one of my bands was going to be on. I would do it all the time too, where like if I wanted to like play out of town, I would hit up a guy maybe in Syracuse or, you know, Rochester and be like, hey, I'll do a flyer for you if you let my band on the show. And that's how I met Sage. So I met him that way. And that's how I met a bunch of promoters, with just being like, yeah, hey, I'll trade you a flyer. So there was a point in where, I mean, you and I were probably doing like 70 to 80% of the flyers for upstate New York, or New York in general. Real. Anything from like where I am north, like it was like, oh, it's either a Joey or Sean flyer. Like, and you could tell.
That's not a joke. That is very, very accurate. Yeah, it was the same way. And then I had a bunch of friends who were in the local music scene who ended up going to the same college I went to for design or illustration. So I didn't know. I knew I wanted to go to college, but I didn't know what I wanted to go to college for. So I was like, I'm just going to do design, because it's like I'm playing around on my computer at my mom's, but like I don't know what the fuck I'm really doing. So I was just like, let me actually learn how to do this.
I got really lucky with going to BOCES, because like I was not going to be able to afford to go to like an art school, or even I went to community college, and that put me in like a decent hole with, you know, the finances I had growing up. So I got really lucky that I was able to go to BOCES, and my teacher was like, she like, you know, looked at everyone, and there were kids there that wanted to do the entire class was digital media arts. There was like 3D animation, there was sound, there was video, there was graphic design, like everything. So I got to learn a little bit of everything and then find what I was good at. And luckily I was able to learn the basis of all my programs. I got like Adobe certified and everything.
Ooh, okay.
So that's cool. That was cool. I'm pretty sure that's expired by now, because that was like 13 years ago. But it was a start I needed, definitely.
Yeah, there was a BOCES program. I think that was available for us when I was in school, but I didn't know I wanted to do it at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, so I didn't get to have that early start that some people did. Which sometimes I like think back and I'm like, I wonder what would happen if I did that too.
Dude, there was a point where I went to, you got to start your junior year. So my sophomore year, I went to go shadow my best friend at the time, who was in like the carpentry program, because he was like this blue collar guy. And I was like, yeah, I'll go check it out. Like, it was like never really my thing, but like, you know, my dad's like a blue collar guy, my grandpa's and everything. So I was like, you know, maybe I'll have to do this. Like, maybe I just haven't tried it yet. And I went there for a day and they were like doing like the electrical and like a shed and all this stuff. I'm like, this is not for me at all. Like, that was my number two choice. Like, I applied to get into the digital media program, but like the carpentry was my second one. It's like, I try to figure out like, what if I went there? Cause I went to BOCES, met a kid who I started my first band with. And then, you know, it's just snowballed from there.
Yeah.
And it's always weird to think like what could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I got lucky. So my parents didn't make a lot of money either. My dad was a blue collar guy. He was a mechanic, and I was the opposite of him. Like, I played guitar and tried to skateboard. Wasn't good at it. That's why I started playing guitar and went to shows. And then I ended up, you know, doing dumb flyer things or helping people promote shows. And through like the end of high school and through college and stuff, I promoted a ton of shows in Watertown, which was obviously helped me like meet people and everything like that. But yeah, so my grandma like co-signed a loan for me, and I think like this month or next month I'll be fully paid off on my student loans. So it only took me 10 years to pay off an associate's degree at a community college.
Yeah. Cool. That's not bad. I paid mine off, I think, last year. I just like, I tried to save as much money as I could. I was like, I just want to get these like done and over with. Like, I'm through with it.
Yeah. It's a rough thing. I hope there's been a lot of talk of, you know, federal student loans getting waived, and, you know, possibly people going to tuition free schools. And I was like, yo, straight up, if some schools around here are tuition free, I was like, I'll probably go back to college for something.
Like, it opens up so much. Like, I have like a couple of nieces and nephews who, you know, are, you know, not the richest kids by any means. So yeah. I mean, I'm excited about that future, because my nephew is really big into art and everything. Like, he'll, whenever I like babysit them, or if they have snow days, they'll come over here and like, well, when they had snow days last year, and he would just like sit here and like watch me work on stuff. And like, I was making like a Pokemon rip one day, and he just thought it was like the coolest thing. And he's super into it. He has like a sketch pad and everything, and he's all about it. Awesome. So it's exciting to see him be passionate for that too.
Yeah. And that was why I didn't go to a four-year school. Well, most of the people who, my friends who already went to a four-year school, they're like, dude, we're doing the same shit over again, pretty much in different ways. And you pay four times as much a year for it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm already in debt. Like, I don't need to be in more debt.
Yeah.
And I got lucky.
because right out of high school, I got a job. So
nice.
I mean, right out of college, I got a job. So I was very, very lucky. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's you never know what'll happen. One of my family members went to school for design, and she's like not. I don't think she's doing anything with it really.
Wow.
And it's great. Like we both watch my grandma used to paint all the time too. So we're less than a year apart in age. So we'd watch her paint all the time and everything. And that, you know, got me into art because my grandpa was an engineer and he wanted me to do that more than anything. And even so much for my senior year of high school for Christmas, he got me a set of tools thinking that was going to change it after I told him, I was like, I want to go, you know, I want to do this. I want to pursue art and, you know, video and all this stuff. And he's like, here's tools. But it was a valiant effort. I still use them all the time. I still have the toolbox down the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
But it was very funny.
Yeah. Now that we both own homes, like, you know, tools are a necessity.
Yeah. I bought a new drill last week. I was very excited about it.
Yeah.
I got to mount a lightsaber actually later on today.
What lightsaber is it?
We just got one. We built one down at Disney.
Oh, you built one. Nice.
Yeah. We built one down there. I can't remember which one it was.
I heard that whole process is incredible.
Dude, it's crazy. We're going to do it again next time we go down because when you do it, only one person can build it. So we went in, Kendall built hers, and I just basically, like, you know, documented it. So next time we go down, I'm going to build one and she'll do the same. But it's really cool. And we got, like, the different kyber crystals. So, you know, we made ours red. And then, but, you know, we got green, blue, and purple. So we got all the colors.
Yeah, Sam did the build your own droid thing. That was really cool, too.
How was that? Yeah. Was that cool?
Yeah, it was cool. I feel like the lightsaber thing would be a little more involved, but it was
interesting because, like, you go in there and, like, you know, there's obviously everyone's in character, so there's a whole guide, like, building it and everything, and, like, the Jedi are, like, talking to you while you're building it and everything, and, like, it's very cool. It's definitely a really cool experience. Like, it was one of those things where, like, you know, you go in from Galaxy's Edge and you see all these people and everything like that, and then you go in a room and there's just, you know, 15, 20 people, and it's like a, you know, 20, 25-minute process, and it just sucks you into that world. It's very interesting. Definitely worth the money.
Yeah, I love Galaxy's Edge. That place is incredible.
It was great going back and actually knowing what was going on, because the first time I went, I'd never seen any of the Star Wars movies.
Right.
So I'm like,
this is cool. I don't get it.
I'm like, there's that ship. I'm like, that ship is on the shirts I used to sell at Hot Topic. Like, this is cool. And, like, I just, all I knew was from what, like, customers were telling me. Like, my wife was a huge Star Wars fan, so she was, you know, angry at me for the last, like, 12 years about not watching the movies. And then, you know, last year on New Year's, we banged them all out in 2 weeks, and then we went back and everything made so much sense.
I can imagine going in there and being like, this is cool, but I don't get any of it.
That's what I did. I was like, yeah, this is cool. I'm like, this food's good. Like, this ride's fun. Like, I just, you know, I just was enjoying it. She was having a blast.
Have you seen the new ride?
Yeah. Dude, insane.
This is one of the craziest rides I've ever been on.
Because we were supposed to go the first week of April of 2020. And then, you know, everything obviously shut down in the middle of March. And it was right after you went. And I was like, man, I can't wait. I know, I was talking to you about it and everything.
Yeah, dude.
And then we had to wait. And we finally did it. It was crazy. We ended up going back. We were there for 6 days. And we went to Hollywood 4 of those days. So yeah. We did it. We got into it each day.
That's awesome. It was
cool.
We went, like, weeks before the pandemic started. It's crazy. It was like a month.
You think that it was, like, probably already there. Like when it opened, because we went in October, like right before everything got really bad again, and the capacity was so low, so it wasn't bad. Like, even like days like Animal Kingdom, there's like no one there. But, you know, we'd be going around, the parks were at like 50% capacity, maybe. They were saying they were at like 33%, but I feel like it was definitely more. And even in the week we were there, Florida's governor was like, yep, we're opening everything back up. So, like, they were raising capacities. And, like, we could tell just in the week we were there that there was more people coming in. Right. So it was, I think we went at the right time. Like, now we're, like, talking about going back again sometime this year and, like, just thinking how it's going to be if it's at full capacity. There's just no rules in Florida. So yeah. I don't know.
That's why every year you guys went, Sam was like, oh, I kind of want to go. And I was like, I don't want to go.
Honestly, I felt like safer there than I have at like Walmart or anything like that. Like, even like anywhere around here, like, they're very strict about the rules. Like, if you're even standing too close to someone, they'll be like, you know, in a nice way, like, back up. And like, if you're walking around, even with your mask, like, under your nose, they'll like tell you to pull it up. And they're very strict about their guidelines, you know, cause any sort of breakout there that happens is going to be awful.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Disney. I'm just worried about Florida. as a whole.
Yeah. Well, that's so we stay in a condo, like that's right next to Disney. So we basically take it right out of our condo, and it's right a 5-minute drive. We're right in the Disney highways. So we were able to isolate ourselves pretty well. Like the only time I felt sketched out the entire time was on our way back home, because we're driving home and I had to stop at like a McDonald's in Jacksonville. And I was like, I feel unsafe now.
I can imagine.
It was the only time I felt unsafe the entire trip.
That makes sense. That's what's like, because we would be there like right now.
Yeah.
Because we go for our birthdays, and then we usually go around our wedding anniversary. So and we were gonna be in LA last May because she won Champions Club.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's like 2 or 3 days where you're there and you can just do whatever you want. We were obviously gonna go to Disney.
Yeah, that was our plan for our anniversary in August this past year. We were gonna go out to Disneyland. So I'd never been there, neither has she. So we were gonna do that, and
it's sick. We got to do it 2 years. 2 years. Yeah. Well, a year and a half ago, like 2 summers ago.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's the thing that's nice about it is that you can hit both parks in a day easily, because it's only two parks. It's only two parts.
Interesting.
But
that would throw me for a loop.
Yeah, it's very it's very different. You definitely could do one each day easily, but we could only squeeze it into one day, because that's when we saw Have Heart, Sound of Fury, and then it was the Ghost Inside comeback show.
Right. That'd be awesome. That had to be Halloween week.
It was amazing. It was so cool. But yeah, like Galaxy's Edge is almost the exact same there.
Interesting. I feel like sometimes they change stuff up. I feel like with this new stuff, they're going to keep doing everything like the same. Like they're going to run out of. Like,
I imagine. Yeah.
Especially if people that are from the West Coast right now. Like when we were there, we met a couple people that were from like California. They were like, we flew to Florida because we're not open. And I'm like, that's a crazy commitment.
That is a crazy commitment.
I can't believe like that's just a crazy thing to me. You know, people flying from California to Florida just because their park isn't open.
Yeah, that is nuts, especially in this climate. It's especially nuts.
This was in October, so it was before everything got really, really crazy again. But still, like even at that time, like I couldn't imagine.
Still pretty crazy.
Definitely pretty crazy. I mean, that was more than ever. Like we were talking about, like, you know, planning out. Usually we go in the spring and the fall, like we go in like March or April, and then we go for my birthday in October, which is also your wedding anniversary. Yeah. So we go around the same times. So we were talking about it. We're like, man, the spring, we're not sure about the spring this year. Like we're talking about it. We're getting like things planned just in case we do actually go, but I don't even know, man. I don't know what's worth the risk and what isn't. And
I'm just kind of hoping by fall it'll be like a lot better.
Yeah.
And it'll make sense for us to go.
I would hope so. I hope fall is clean enough.
Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully.
Who knows? Every week is something different.
Yeah, that is 100% accurate. So I guess getting back into design stuff, do you remember like the first bigger client, or it doesn't even have to be like bigger, but the first one you landed and you're like, this is insane?
Yeah, so I worked a lot with The Last 10 Seconds of Life because they were from around here. So in the shows that I would do the flyers for and, you know, help book and everything, they were always like a headliner. That's like right when like the Justice EP came out. And I did this just god awful like PA Deathcore shirt for them. It just said PADX and it had like the Keystone outline, and it had their logo. Yeah, it had their logo on like the back hip, like the back left hip. Oh, and my God. I remember getting that. I was like, this is my first shirt that's printed. Like I did a couple shirts for like for Save Our Scene down here. I did a couple for them, but like this was my first like band client. And then it was within a year, Adalia posted this like design contest thing they were doing. They were like, you know, submit a design, and if we like it, you know, we'll use it. So I submitted two designs and they picked them. And that turned into my longest running client probably. Like I just had them on our store. Like they became, you know, friends of mine, which is cool because I love the band. They were my favorite bands and they still are. Yeah. But those two were definitely the first two that really stuck out to me. Like, whoa, like I landed this one. Like it was really awesome. Cool. And then I threw a design out on Twitter in like 2012 or 13, I think it was, for The Plot and You. Because they were like one of my favorite bands from like 2010. I just tweeted them this like design I did, and they were like, yo, this is awesome, we'll take it. And I emailed them, sent them the design files. And I don't even know if they ever printed it. But I mean, at the time I was like fangirl. I'm like, this is so fucking cool. I'm like, I can't believe this. And it's still in my portfolio today. So
that's awesome. I think the first ones, I'm trying to remember which came first in these, because there was like two of the very like first cool things for me were when Ghost Ship used to be signed to this label Seven Dagger, and the owner of Seven Dagger runs this print shop called Holy Mountain Printing. And he would just they just do merch for like a ton of bands. They still do. It's like pretty big. They have their own merch store and stuff like that where they sell people's merch and everything. And he found out I did design, because that's when I started taking over doing designs for Ghost Ship stuff. And he's like, hey, do you want to do some stuff for me? I was like, yeah, sure. I'm like, I'm down. And one of the first ones he asked me, he was friends with the guy who ran Tragic Hero. And he was like, yo, do you want to do designs for Finch for their 10-year anniversary DVD of What It Is to Burn? And I was like,
I remember when you got that. That was so sick.
I was like, yeah. I was like, I've been listening to that band since I was like 12. Like, yeah.
That's awesome.
So that one was crazy. I ended up doing like a He Is Legend design too, I think, back then, which that was another band that I listened to when I was in high school. And I was like, this is sick. But the design kind of sucked. Even the Finch designs are like, okay. But looking back at now, I mean, that was probably 10 years ago. And I'm like, it's cool, you know, but like I could do something way cooler now. But it's kind of how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember somehow getting in with it's kind of like the same Adalia kind of thing. But I used to love this band called Kingmaker. They're from like the Chicago area, like Barrier, Sworn In. Oh, yeah. But I was doing a lot of stuff for Kingmaker, and I ended up doing a bunch of stuff for Sworn In. Like, I think I did a Windbreaker for them for Letdown, like before Letdown came out.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was like the Windbreaker they dropped.
Yeah.
And then like Letdown came out and they started blowing up. And I think I did one more design for them after that for like All In, and that was it. But like, I still kind of talk to those dudes, and obviously we both know like Tanner still books them and stuff like that. So it's always funny seeing, because I like kept in touch with the drummer Chris a little bit, so like every time we see each other we're like, hey, what's up, man? You're like one of those things. But I think those are my two first bigger ones. I think like the craziest one to me that was maybe a few years after that is that I'm friends with John Bowes, who runs Cold Cuts. And for a while I would do designs for them. He mostly, like, there'd be a list of designers they send an email to, and it's like, Backtrack needs merch designs for their store, and then every designer on the list sends them designs, and whatever gets approved gets approved. It just became like too much work for me for not much return, you know, because it's like, only if your design gets approved, that's when you get paid. So it's like, you could do like 10 designs and not get paid for one, you know, which is no one's fault, you know, like the manager and the band picks the designs, like you have no control. It's just if they like it or not. But I remember I got two designs approved for Stick Your Guns, which, like, if anyone knows me, they're like one of my favorite bands ever. So, like, this is nuts. And then they ended up reprinting one of the designs like a year ago or something. And I was like, this is still nuts.
That's what I felt when I got those Motionless and White projects like 2 years ago. I was like, it was crazy. Like, my friend plays drums for them, and then his best friend is their sound tour manager. So, you know, they were guys that I used to play shows with back in like 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
And now they moved up so much, and he texted me one day. He's like, hey, he's like, do you want to do a couple designs for Motionless? I was like, yeah, I would like to do that. Sure. So I threw him over the first, they got approved first draft, which is crazy. And I mean, Chris from Motionless is a super nice guy. He, you know, hit me up, I sent him the files and everything, and, you know, paid me incredibly quickly, paid me more than I asked, which was cool. So it was a very cool process. They're really nice guys. That was a cool one to throw in the portfolio too. That was very unexpected from a kid that worked at Hot Topic for so long to get Motionless and White designs done.
Every time I like hear about interactions with Chris from Motionless or like watch his interviews, he seems like the coolest dude ever.
Dude, he was so cool. Like, he just sent me an email one day and he was like thanking me for doing them. I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, like,
sure. Cool.
I don't know why you're thinking me, but okay.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, you know, and like, I don't know. I mean, there's a level of professionalism, I guess, when you get that big that you don't expect. Like, you sort of expect everyone to kind of cool guy you. And it's, I mean, they were all at our level once, you know, within their, you know, craft. So it's cool to see, you know, people not get giant heads about stuff.
That's very fair. So obviously you and Cody have been a team for a while at Point Blank. So how did that end up happening? And like, how long has that been happening?
It's been going for about 10 years. Yeah, but actually 9 years. Cause I used to manage Hot Topic here at our mall. And that my manager at the time was like, yeah, he's like, we're hiring these two new kids. And, you know, one, they're both still my friends, but obviously Cody's, you know, much better friend with him. He came in one day and he's just like this like tall, scrawny, like 17-year-old kid. And I'm like, all right, this guy's like a lot taller than me. Like, this is kind of weird. he starts working with me and stuff. And we're talking about like what we like, and we like a lot of the same music. And he's like, yeah, I draw stuff. I was like, oh, cool. Like, let me see. And he's showing me these drawings. And this is when he's still in high school. I'm like, oh, right. These are sick, dude. I was like, have you ever used like Photoshop or Illustrator? I was like, I do show flyers and shirts for bands and stuff like that. And he's like, no, I haven't. I was like, you should learn how to do it. I was like, we should like work on something someday. So like a couple weeks later, I think he had some sort of drawing. It was like a broken watch or something like that. And there was a band from around here called No Time to Lose. And I was like, yo, I was like, send me that. I was like, I'll make that into a shirt and see if this band will want it. And it was just like a pencil sketch drawing. Like, he didn't even like outline it in marker or anything. It was just like the most basic drawing. And we turned it into a shirt and sold it. And I was like, yeah, we should do some more projects together. And I mean, he went off to school in Pittsburgh, and, you know, we stayed in contact. I go down there and go to shows with him all the time. Whenever he came up here, you know, we'd spend time together. And, you know, we just worked alongside each other for almost 10 years now. And we work in completely different ways, which is, it's very weird to see. Like, even like when we sat down to, you know, plan out the store that we're going to talk about, like, we had similar visions but like different ideas of how to execute it. And even when we're packing the shirts, we do things completely different. And it's it's very funny because like we work so well together, but when we're in the same room together, it's just a completely different vibe that we handle things with.
Yeah, there's like three kinds of designers almost. There's like people like us that are very graphic oriented, and then there's like the illustrators who can mostly just do illustration, but they can't really do layout that well. And then there's the people that can do both, and Cody's like the both. And those are a true level of psychopath and talent that is a hard thing to find.
His dad's incredibly talented too. Like his dad's, they're both just incredible artists. And it's crazy to see like how, like, Cody will be like, yeah, I threw this together in like 5 minutes. I'm like, dude, this is incredible. I'm like, what do you mean you threw this together in like a couple minutes? Like, it's crazy. He's very talented. I'm very, very lucky to work alongside him and, you know, have him as a part of this team and, you know, my life in general.
Oh yeah. He's an awesome guy. And also, speaking of design, I didn't even mention this. Obviously, Joe is the one that brought the Metalcore Nerds logo.
Oh yeah. To me. I was just looking, I was like, I forgot I did that.
I know. I've definitely like moved stuff around, and I mean, not really with the logo, but just using it in different ways, I guess.
Yeah. Which, I mean, look, it looks great.
You always find that like cool when you like send someone a logo, especially maybe if you sent to someone who like knows their way around stuff, and then you see the different ways they use it and everything. Like, do you always find that cool, or is it like weird?
I feel like if it's like album art or something, and I sent it to them layered, they're like pulling layers out. I'm like, you know, that's a little weird sometimes, but like stuff like this where you're like breaking apart like what I did, like it's totally fine because I trust your vision with it. I guess if it's like, it's sort of like making like a tour ad mat. Like, I will make an awesome tour ad mat and I'll send out a blank to someone, and then the promoter has their artist do it, and it's just awful. It's like, it drives me absolutely nuts. If I had a dollar, I wouldn't have to design anymore. It's crazy. Like, it got to the point where like I'd like see some of them. I'm like, how does this pass? Like, you see
biggest one that always drives me crazy. Especially now that Instagram is such a big thing, I would always make an Instagram version, whether if it was like just the bands and then you swipe and it's the dates, if like the bands take up too much space, or if it's all in one or whatever. And you send them a folder with everything, like they had the PSD files, because, you know, some promoters like to have the full Photoshop files. They don't really mess with much stuff sometimes, but sometimes they do. And that's when it's like, what did you do? It sent you a perfectly nice flyer and you just made it terrible, but whatever. But when bands post like the normal size flyer on Instagram and like cut off half the flyer, and I'm like, I sent you an Instagram file size. Like, it's
right there.
It's there for you to use. Like, why do you do it?
There's apps too. You can get Square Ready or anything like that. Like, you can, there's multiple options to post all the correct information and they still fuck it up.
Even that I would feel a little better about.
Yeah.
I guess. But yeah,
it's crazy.
Like, why are you cutting off part of the flyer, man? I sent you a format for you to post it. What are you doing?
Yeah, or like, I'll send that and the people be like, oh yeah, can you give me the Instagram version? I'm like, it's right there. It's the one that says dash IG.
Yep, exactly. Like, it's labeled.
Yeah,
it's right there.
It's the one that looks like a square.
Boom.
Oh, man.
So we've obviously been talking about how last year and even this year is still definitely not normal. So how were things for you work-wise? Obviously, we were both worked in the music industry, so that just kind of obviously went away and has not come back at all.
Yeah.
But as far as like design work, like what did you try to do to shift it to try and offset everything else that was going on? Especially because now it's like there's not tour flyers to make.
Yeah.
You know, and at first there definitely wasn't merch to make until people started doing stuff to make money. But
So it was a weird balance of stuff at first. Like there were a lot of bands that were like, all right, our spring tours are canceled and our summer tours might be canceled, but we're still going out in the fall. So until like early summer, I was still doing like a normal amount of work. But then it definitely slowed up, but it got to the point where like it was just weird work all the time. Like it was a lot of the same clients that were coming back, which was fine. But I wasn't getting as many new ones. But I mean, also like at first when there was like, you know, when people were getting the extra $600 a week, I was busy as hell because you have a lot of these people who work part-time jobs because they're touring. So, you know, if they're working at, you say they're working at Zumbies like 12 hours a week, you know, they're making a lot more money on unemployment than they would have been usually. So people are buying a lot more designs. But it was a weird transition at first. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not, you know, making anything off of booking, obviously. And, you know, my design work was half of my income. So I had to make up the other half. So I was trying to figure out like, you know, what I can do. And I ended up getting into NASCAR a little bit, which has been cool. One of my friends, you know, manages a NASCAR team and got me a couple clients there, and I've been doing some extensive work for them now, which is really fun because I grew up a NASCAR fan. I grew up 15 minutes from Watkins Glen Racetrack.
It's pretty
cool to, you know, just see actual drivers using them. Like, you know, I went to a race back in October and like met the team and everything, and like just saw fans wearing the NASCAR merch that I did. And it was cool. It was like seeing, it was the same feeling as, you know, seeing someone wear a band shirt you designed for the first time, like going to a show and be like, oh, I made that shirt. Like, this is cool, but it was at a different level. And it's been exciting. It's been keeping me going at a time where, I mean, I still have a lot of the same clients that come back to me. And it's great, but it's definitely a way to keep things fresh and keep me motivated to keep doing more.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
We were talking a little bit before we started recording, and I got into a big shout out to 33 and West, but they do a lot of stuff in the TV and movie world. And I was doing a lot of their tour advance before touring stopped. Which they sent me a lot of cool stuff to do. So I was super thankful for that. But they started sending me like, oh, hey, do you want to do these pitch decks? And it's basically just like, you know, I was explaining to you, it's like a visual outline and pitch for the TV show or movie or documentary or whatever it may be. And you know me, like I love, obviously, like I have a podcast about pop culture. Like I love all forms of TV and movie and everything like that. So like me having a chance to like contribute to that world in some way was the coolest thing ever. I was like, this is insane.
It's awesome for both of us just to, I don't want to say like re-energize ourselves, but to find another avenue within what our passions already are, because it's hard. I was just talking to someone today about like how turning, you know, our passions or our hobbies into our actual day jobs is very hard. Like it takes a lot of the fun away sometimes, which is, you know, not as fun. Like there are definitely days I get done with doing this stuff, I'm like, this is all I ever wanted to do. And I get done and I'm like, man, I feel like shit today. Like I'm like ultra depressed because my work sucked, or like I'm super anxious because a project I worked on for so long to get approved. Like there's a lot that goes into it that I didn't anticipate, and that I try to tell other people, like some like Cody, especially. Like Cody's bounced back and forth from being self-employed to working at like other print shops. And I'm like, I'm just trying to advise him on the right thing to do, because, you know, not everyone can do it. And like, I don't want to say I'm some superhero or anything. I have a great support system around me with like my friends and my wife, obviously, and she's the biggest one. Like she has a very structured life and keeps me very, you know, on the pace I should be, you know, tells me when I need to slow down, because I just won't slow down.
Yeah.
Like I'll work until whenever. Like the other day we were finishing up this next store, and I'm still like, you know, sending emails out like 10 o'clock, and she's like sitting next to me. She's like, I can feel the anxiety coming off you. She's like, just shut up. she's been there with me since I made my first flyer. So she understands the work I've put in and the work that has to be done. and you know, when things go well and when things go poorly, but it's a lot. It's a lot to take in mentally.
Oh yeah, for sure. Cause I worked 9-to-5 design jobs for almost 10 years, like 8 years before I went, and I would always do stuff on the side, and it was kind of up and down, you know, it was mostly just extra money. But when I started booking, especially when I first started booking, cause I was working at 9-to-5 booking and doing design kind of, at least freelance stuff kind of took a back seat for me for a while. And then I kind of got back around to it. And now I'm to a point where it's weird because I've never really promoted myself, which is super strange. I guess I used to back in the day, but now it's kind of just like people know that I do it and come to me, and I just have the right kind of repeat people, or I'm kind of like the quote unquote in-house guy for a label or for other companies. And it's just like, that's like my steady stuff. And if extra stuff comes in, cool. And if not, like some weeks I'm like glad I get like a few things that are extra, because like I wouldn't even have time for it, or like the mental capacity to do it. You know, I would be so burnt out. So it's like, it comes to a point where sometimes you work hard enough and you can, you know, you don't have to work 9-to-5 every day. Like, you know, like maybe you work 9-to-4 and you're like,
I worked at a print shop too. And I was, you know, I was doing just basic like vinyl cutting stuff all day. I was like laying out jerseys, laying out like simple shirts. So I'd sit there 9-to-5, then I had to come home and work. And there was the portion where I left like working on a topic for a little while. I'm like, this just, it was ruining my drive. But you know, working at Hot Topic when I was doing this stuff on the side was the easiest thing. I mean, my managers there were super supportive, all the way from my associates all the way to my DM. Like even like Nolan, he was incredibly supportive of everything. So it would work out, especially like when I was booking. So like the first year I was full-time booking, you know, full-time design, everything like that. Like I was taking like, I'm taking like conference calls on like the work line and everything. Like I was like, it was a lot. I don't know how, it's the same year that we were buying this house and planning our wedding and everything. So it was a whirlwind year. 2018 was nuts. it was one of those years I looked back at. I'm like, how the hell I do
that? That was in those years. That's when Sam's mom was sick. So it's like we were taking care of her mom, and I was working full-time and booking and designing at the same time. I look back at it now, I'm like, I don't know how I even did it.
It's I think about it all the time too, like even from when I was in college, I was working a full-time job to, you know, designing at home, and then, you know, obviously keeping a healthy relationship with my family and my wife and everything like that. Like it was a lot looking back on how I used to do things. I'd just be like so strung out on like Rockstar energy drinks and everything like that. Like it was a lot. I'd sleep like a couple hours a day, because I was working, you know, full-time. I was 19 years old, working 40 hours, taking full-time credit hours and doing a million flyers that I wasn't even getting paid for at the time. So I was just trying to get, you know, in with everyone.
The door.
And I'm still doing favors to this day. Like that's one thing that like never stops. No. I'm not necessarily mad that doesn't stop, because it kind of keeps me going to be like, if I do this favor well enough, this will probably turn into something. And some of those are starting to come back around, which is great, because I've been waiting a little while for them to come back around.
I've kind of vetoed favor things for me, unless it's like a really close friend.
Yeah.
And most of the times, even then, like it's, you know, like people who aren't even in this world, who are just like, you know, have been super close with Sam or super close to me for years, and they're like, hey, can you like do this thing for me? Cause I know you do design. Like, I don't want to bug you with it. And I'm like, yeah, of course I'll do it for you. Like, no problem. And I do it, and they're like, how much do I owe you? And I'm like, nothing. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you're my friend. Like, you don't ask me. It's like, if you asked me for this all the time, it'd be a different story. But like, you've asked me for one thing ever. Like, you're good. But so most of the time,
just did some like birthday invites for my cousin for her kid's first birthday.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do I do? I was like, literally nothing. I'm like, he's a 1-year-old child. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? You want to, it was crazy. She's like, are you sure you don't want any money? I'm like, really? It's fine.
Yeah. The only favors I do now, it was music industry related stuff. And I was like, you know, someone would be like, maybe on the precipice of getting a tour offer. And I'm like, yo, I'm a designer. I've done tour admits for a lot of legit bands. Like, I'll do the whole ad band package for you for free.
Yeah.
Just throw it out there, you know. Yeah. It's worked a few times. So
yeah, it's a simple favor too. Like, it's not too much, because when you control your own time, you control your own value, and you know that might be worth it to you in the long run. In your head, it's not like you're on an hourly clock for that.
Nope. Exactly. And that's like, It's like you think about the stuff you get paid for, because sometimes obviously you get paid, you just set a dollar amount, and sometimes it ends up being super fast. And like if you think about it like hourly or something, sometimes you're like, wow, I made like $100 an hour or something. You know, it's like obviously it all like ends up getting, you know, leveling back out and everything and everything like that. But it's yeah, it's when you work for yourself, you set your own stuff, and that's like you said, it can be a blessing and a curse for sure. Yeah. I think I've finally found that balance where I'm just like, too much for today. I'm just gonna chill out, like go sit on the couch with my dogs or something.
Exactly. I usually work on Kendall's schedule because she, you know, works a bank job. So it's very easy to work on that like 9 to 5, you know, weekends. Yeah. I do stuff on the weekends here and there when I need it, but it's something it was essential to me to keeping myself sane during everything is managing my time correctly, setting a schedule, like knowing when to shut off unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's tough. I mean, we used to both work retail, you know, in the same thing. So like, you know, similar, same situation. Like, I don't know how I used to do that with the crazy schedules all throughout the week and everything. Like one day I'm opening, next day I'm closing, next day is a mid shift, and I have to fit in band practice and these four projects. And like, it was a lot. I feel like we ran that gauntlet just to kind of chill a little bit now when we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. Like, you know, working 9 to 5, you get home, do more work, and you're just like, it's exactly what you said. Like looking back at it, I'm like, I don't know how I did that.
I have no idea. It's crazy. Like there's like a day I'd work like a 2 to 10 shift. I'd wake up, you know, 9 o'clock. I'd work from, you know, 9:30 until 1:30. I lived 5 minutes from the mall, so I would just, you know, get ready, go to work real quick, be working on projects on my phone, like trying to get clients and stuff while I'm there, whether it's tours or whether it's, you know, design stuff. And then I'd get home at, you know, 10:30, and I'd work until 2 in the morning, and then wake up the next day and do it all again. And it was
the same way, like on my breaks, on my 9 to 5, I would be like on my laptop, like trying to fit in whatever design stuff I could or whatever booking emails I could fit in. And it's just like, you know, like you don't even get a break when you're there in the day, and then you go home and you do more of it, and you're just like,
that was definitely the worst thing. That got to me really bad when I was doing that. Like it just kind of, I could feel like my passion for it slipping away, not in a way where it's you know, it's my job now, but it's a different sort of like passion towards it. Like it's definitely not as fun as it used to be, but it's still what I did to myself, you know? So I'm not going to ask for any pity for it. You know, this is what I set up, but you know, at the time it was the worst when I was going to, you know, work at the shop that I hated, you know, spend all day with this boss that was an asshole, which is like drive me nuts and just drive all. And I worked there with Cody at the time too. Like him and I both worked there. Wow. So, you know, I'm seeing the stuff he's doing. He was doing different stuff than I was, but we were in the same boat. We were both working in this print shop all day, just with shitty people. Than having to go home and then try to, you know, turn our minds around for the shitty day we had. It was bad. That was definitely the worst time, but I'm happy I got out of that situation.
Yeah. It's weird. I'm at like a point where it's like, it's design stuff still fun for me. Obviously there's still like monotonous things, which I've never minded monotonous work and whatever. That's fine to me. Like I like tedious work for some reason, but it's more like I got to a point where it's like, I realized that I'm lucky. I get to be able to do this. It's like a privilege. Yeah. I can work for myself, and like obviously we both work to get to the level where you can make enough money to work for yourself for sure, but it's definitely like a luxury to be able to like, you know, set your own schedule, or you know, like if you feeling burnt out, you can just turn it off. Like obviously if you're working a normal job, you can't like not feel it today, I'm just gonna leave. They'll be like, oh, you're fine. So
I have a couple friends who are like factory workers, and you know what they do, like very hard work. Some of them are teachers and stuff like that. And like, you know, they're like trying to plan out stuff all the time. And they'll be like, oh yeah, who was off on Monday? And I'm like, oh, I do if you want. Like, you know, and it's good to, I don't want to say surround yourself with people who, you know, I don't say aren't as lucky, but I guess just do things differently than you. Like a lot of them, I don't think would thrive on the unpredictability of what you and I have to deal with all the time.
Yeah.
But it's also a nice reminder when I'm like, you know what? I can just do what I want. Or like, you know, like especially when I was working a retail job, like I didn't get that much vacation time, and I was also touring in a band. So like I wasn't able to go on as many vacations as I wanted. I wasn't able to take time off where I needed to do stuff with anyone else. You know, it was a weird time, but seeing it now, it's it's easy to snap back into reality and be like, oh, okay, this is a good thing I'm doing that's driving me crazy, but in a good way. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, even the nights I sit down, if I don't get to the couch until like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and Kendall's already just about passed out, and I just sit down, just take like a big breath, I'm like, oh, like, all right, my day's done. And she's already out. She's thinking about the next day already. Like, it's self-reflection is important in multiple ways.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So the main reason we've been talking about doing an episode for a while, we just didn't really knock down what we want to talk about, but you obviously, we announced it late last week that Ghost Ship is a part of the next Point Blank, like, throwback merch, I guess. Yes. Is what I like to call it, which I'm very stoked that we're a part of it. I always loved, and I'm stoked too, because all of the designs Cody asked for were pretty much, besides two, were all ones I did, and he just kind of like either put on a different color shirt or a different colorway, or like added something little to it and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, these are like some of my favorite designs. So I was like, I'm stoked anyway.
Yeah.
And just like to be along the class of bands we're with is awesome.
So just drops nuts.
Yeah, it is sick. So it's out now. I guess tell everyone like how this idea came about, where they can get the merch, how long it's gonna be available. Just drop them with the details and hit them with everything.
Yeah. So back in the fall, Cody was thinking about leaving the job he was at, and he was like, you know, I want to come up with a different avenue to make some extra money. And we tossed around the idea for a while about just like hitting up old bands and maybe doing like, you know, a shirt or two for them and see if they want to raise some money or something like that. You know, especially over the summer with everything going on, we were like, you know, where can we work with some old clients and put money in the right places. And we ended up doing a couple of different projects for that, but this was unrelated. And we were like, well, why don't we hit up, you know, like Adalia, and maybe, you know, like Cody does a lot of work for Body Snatcher, which has some former members of King Conquer. And we were like, why don't we just hit them up and see if they want to do like a throwback store, and, you know, see if they're interested in that. You know, we saw a couple other bands do it, and putting out new merch based off of old music was something that I was super into. Cody's more about like the older designs, just bringing them back. I like doing the newer merch for old music, but again, it's where we work well together, that we have both those ideas and they came together.
Yeah.
And we, the first drop was awesome. It was really fun. We didn't even know what to expect. We were like, maybe we'll do like shirts. This will be cool. You know, we had Adalia, we had King Conquer, we had Existence, 2x4, Bungler, and then my old band Mistgiver. We did some stuff. So that drop went really well. And after we saw that it was sort of something where it would be worth putting our time into, we're like, all right, you know, let's build up a second drop. And we added Barrier. And then Last 10 Seconds of Life, like I said, was an old design client of mine, my first one. So we hit them up about doing some old stuff and Wyatt was super into it. And I mean, just in the time that those two drops came together, by the time the second one dropped, we were like, all right, this is going to be, you know, something that we want to build more on. And the second one, we beat our first sales in the first day. So by the time we were done with the first day of it, I was like, damn, I'm like, this is nuts. So wow. I was like, I don't want to take any sort of steps back. You know, I hate feeling like I'm not moving forward. I was like, all right, so I need to crush this third one. And this third one was definitely tough to lock everyone down. Like getting the mix of like, you know, bands that are still somewhat active that might want to do some old stuff. Getting bands that are broken up was incredibly hard, or getting, you know, just even bands from like the MySpace era. Like some of those guys are, you know, in their late 30s now. Like they haven't thought about MySpace deathcore in ages.
Yeah. And yeah, when I, you know, you told me, or I think Cody told me Avocab was on it, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, dude, that was,
I haven't even heard that band name since like the end of like high school.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. We were like, I was trying to think of like some of my old favorite, like, you know, heavy MySpace bands, you know, and I'm like, all right, I'm like, Abacab would be cool. I was like, they don't have any social media. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know any of them personally. I was like, how the hell am I going to do this? So I was just like scrounging Instagram, and I shot Tyler a DM, and it was like, you know, a couple of weeks and he hadn't like answered. I was like, all right, you know, whatever. He might not be into it. Like his whole like Instagram was like hiking and like traveling. I'm like, you know, a lot of people just aren't into it anymore, which we've run into with a couple other bands that we've tried.
Right.
And then I was like, I don't even know how to get in contact with them. And then one day John Pence posted a video of Abacab playing in Virginia, like way back in the day. And I didn't realize that he used to be in Abacab. I knew he was in Alcatraz 1962.
Oh, he was in Abacab?
Yeah, he was in Abacab for a little bit. So I messaged him. I was like, hey, dude, I was like, I know you're from that area. I was like, do you know anyone in Abacab that I could, like, contact? Like, I want to do the store. Like, he had bought some stuff previously, so I knew he was, like, aware of what the store was. He's like, yeah, I used to be in the band. I was like, oh, no shit. He's like, yeah, you're going to want to talk to Tyler. I was like, all right, well, I tried that. I was like, he didn't answer me on Instagram. He's like, here, let me intro you to him. So he introduced us, and it worked out. But that was like a month-long process to try to get everything locked in. And, like, I was really excited about that. And then getting No Bragging Rights was also awesome. I mean, that I love that band. And same. I've been, you know, watching them coming back for a while. I've been patiently waiting. And to get them was super exciting. You know, thank you a lot for your help with that.
I may or may not have heard new music.
Yeah, I'm sure it's excellent.
I'm just gonna say it made me emotional listening to it. So
do that, man. They're a very emotional band.
Yeah, I was like, I'm getting emotional listening to this, and
yeah,
because Tron is the reason I'm even working with that band, because he's a Trove. He used to be in To the Wind, and he was like, he hit me up. He's like, hey, I want to talk to you about something, and I was like, oh yeah, what's up, man? And he's just like, hey, I'm gonna be in No Bragging Rights. Would you want to work with them? And I'm like, straight up, No Bragging Rights is like one of my favorite bands. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I love that band. And I've talked to the drummer a few times. I met him when they were on the Every Time I Die tour years ago, and he was always super awesome. Always been super cool. Like, anytime
he's been great to work with on this. He's been great with, like, helping us, you know, work with the design, see what we want to do. He's been super open to the ideas that we have. I think they actually just posted the merch like a day early, which is totally fine. I don't care. But they posted a little, we made like blurred teasers for him, and then they're like, all right, we're going to send it, which is fine. It'll get more hype up for it.
Yeah.
But I'm super excited about that. I was really happy to get them. And then getting Suburban Scum too, which is one of my favorite hardcore bands, despite whatever happened with them. But I love that band, so I'm really excited. Yeah. This hoodie that's in the drop, I tried to find on Merch Swap for like 2 or 3 years. So when we did the drop, right, I was talking to Jeremy. I was like, we should do this hoodie. He's like, yeah, I'm totally down. I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm like, I'm finally getting that damn hoodie. Like, it's something I haven't even thought about in years, but it was like just something that I wanted for so long. I'm like,
yeah, finally. That's how I felt about the hoodie in the Ghost Ship drop, because we seriously printed like 20 of them ever.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, those are gonna fly.
And I was like, I'm stoked to own it, because I'd never owned it. And I was like, hell yeah, I get to own this in hoodie form. Cause I don't know why. I was so weird about like taking shirts even.
Dude, I have one Mistgiver shirt. You know, I have one of all the stuff we ever printed, because it would always be like, we were always so broke. I wore an extra large. I was like the most common size for like hardcore kids.
Same, yeah. I wore larger size. So
yeah, like I'd always rather make the $15 than have a shirt for myself, because we were always, you know, very strict about how we budgeted and everything. So it got to the end of the band. Anything.
I think that's how I was with the hoodie, because I was like, because we played this fest called Sincerity Fest, and it was in Pittsburgh. And I think it's the year we played with Code Orange and Incendiary. I think Harm's Way played too, and Code Orange is from Pittsburgh, and we seriously sold them like all that day or something, like almost all of them, like they just flew. I'm pretty sure we did it in like a weekend or something, and they were all gone within like 2 days. It was nuts or something like that. I just remember it was like a string of shows and they were gone instantly. So I was like, I think it was the same way. I was like, I'd rather sell the large or XL or whatever
than have
it, make the $20 or whatever we were selling them for. Then, because there was definitely some merch I got, but there was a lot of cool stuff that I never even took, because we just, because we would do the thing where we would take the same design and print it on like 3 different colors. So, because I remember like one tour we did and our merch spread was so massive, but it's like we would take like a 50 order thing and split it between 4 colors. So it's like you came to our merch table and you would buy something just because you're like, there's something for everything. Like, did you want a blue crew neck? Did you want a black hoodie? Did you want a white t-shirt? Well, we have it. So
that's the way to go. That tour we did with Insidious, we had an insane merch drop for that. Like, that was, we had so much stuff. It was, I think we had like all different designs. Like, we had so much for, like, we made more on merch every single night than we did in our guarantees. Like, it was, and even the show did like 20, 30 kids. Like, that tour was, you know, pretty successful, but it was also like, you know, it was just a DIY hardcore tour, so you're not going to have a whole lot of kids.
Yeah.
But we sold, like, we had a good mix of, like, you know, if you wanted to have like a generic hardcore shirt, you'd have that. But then if you wanted like, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Rick, we had that too. Like we had everything. And that was one of the, you know, big things. Obviously, you know, you would go ship, and then Cody and I would miss giver. Like we just had designs on deck all the time because we would just get bored and be like, oh, we can make this. This will be cool.
Right.
And we're all about it.
Yeah. There was one design that we did. It's not included in the drop, so I can talk about it, but it was like the ghost ship in the cursive, and it was like over the heart. We used it as like a pocket print, and we did it print for like crew necks and stuff. I think we used it for a pocket print for a couple different shirts just because it was like
people. I had one of those.
Yeah, and I made the dot of the I and X. It's like, you know, ghost X ship.
Right.
I made that when I first joined the band. And that's when like Curtis was still doing design for the band. And then eventually when we kicked him out, like I took over naturally. Cause like, why, you know, like obviously you guys did some stuff for us too. Like here and there when I was like, oh, hey, like, would you want to do this? Cause it's like, that's kind of, I've always been, I've always wanted to include my friends. That's why I asked you to do the logo. Cause I was like, I'd rather have a friend do it than me try and do like, it's it's cooler to include people and
yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to like overanalyze it. Like I knew, I sent you examples. I knew you were going to give me something that I wanted. So I was like, I'd rather include a friend than kill myself doing it, I guess. But yeah, it's, you know, it's like that was 10 years in the or like 5 years in the making, you know what I mean? And I brought it back for like a new design, which I was like, that's awesome. You know, yeah. It's just stuff like, it's very just cool. it's funny how that stuff works out. So where can people get the merch?
So you can go to pointblank.graphics, .com or anything like that. We got a cool domain name. So it's nice and simple. You can't forget it. And that'll be up from Monday, February 1st. This is coming out sometime later this week. That'll be up through February 15th at midnight. So you'll have about 2 weeks to get everything. And then it'll all get printed, shipped out within 2 weeks or so. It's been crazy. I've never done fulfillment to that level. So we had, we had almost 1,000 pieces in my basement for the last drop. And I just like,
I was like, whoa. Dude,
it was crazy. I had like, you know, cause I have cats too. So I'm like, shit, I'm like, this can't get like cat hair all over it. So I'm like down there, like literally my couches and stuff like that. I had like, I was putting like garbage bags down, like cardboard down. So like there wouldn't get stuff on it. Like every surface I could make a stand out of I had. And it was a lot of stuff. Like a couple of my friends came over to like look at it and they were like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, yeah, this is a lot.
Yeah.
And this, like, I'm crazy. If this next one doesn't do more, I'll be pissed, but it definitely should. And it's going to be fun to see how it works out.
Yeah. Like even when we did that pre-order for our last show shirt, which I'm sure a lot of people, like, it's so funny now because now that I cut my hair and it's been 5 years since Ghost Ship was the thing, like, a lot of people are like, whoa, you were in Ghost Ship, which is crazy to me that people even know Ghost Ship, I guess. But when they're like, oh, shit, you were in Ghost Ship, that's fucking sick. And I'm like, thanks, that's cool you even knew who we were, even though we were, like, I guess kind of, like, we played Fest and stuff, so it's like people knew who we were and everything. But, like, just me thinking about, like, this design drop happening or anything like that is just crazy. Like even when I posted it on the Facebook and people are like liking it, or me posting it on my Facebook and people would be like, oh fuck yeah, like I can, because some people, like I said, this stuff came out like 5+ years ago. Some people are like, I don't fit that stuff anymore, so now I can buy ones that fit and everything. And I'm like,
last 10 items, like they were ones I got in like, you know, 2011 when I was like,
real old. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was like a medium is not fitting me anymore. Like I gotta size up a little bit there. And it was cool to see some of that stuff, like, you know, especially with how often they used to play here and like how involved they were in building this music scene as a whole, you know, because they played the first, I guess, like, I don't know, I guess the first new era of shows in this area they played. So you know, they kind of pioneered that. So it was really cool to have them on and do those designs. You know, having Adalia do two drops also has been great. Barrier was great to work with. They're back for this third one. Yep. They have some very cool stuff dropping. So this one too, we went out of the box a little bit with some different items, you know, some different brands and stuff like that. It's going to be fun. I know. I mean, I guess we can say it, like, we have like, you know, no bragging rights. Someone like a Carhartt long sleeve. It's like tough as nails. Like Barrier's got this really cool bag. They have like a reflective windbreaker. They're doing some really cool stuff. And it was, I mean, we kept a lot of like the basic, you know, black t-shirt, black hoodie, black long sleeve, which people like, but it's fun to have the freedom, I guess, to go out of the box and take a little bit of a risk because, you know, we at least feel like this is going to be successful. Right. So it's,
oh yeah, I forgot that the drop's going to be out so I can talk about the design.
Yeah. Yeah. We can talk about everything. It comes out in like less than 24 hours. So yeah, I'm already, it's going to be tough to sleep tonight. Like I was, it's like a different high, like just seeing the orders roll into my phone. Like, I'm all like antsy. I'm all excited. I'm probably talking way too fast about it. Like I'm very excited about it, but that's just, you know, that's
so just you mentioned it's point blank dot graphics. And I'll also link it in whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I'll link it in the description for the video either way. So you can just go to description and click it. Go right there. If you don't know how to type in a URL, which people don't nowadays, so that's fine.
there's I think like 40 pieces total. There's quite a bit in there.
So I talk about the hoodie. The hoodie is like a Cold War Army hoodie and it has a big X in the back. And it's one of my favorite designs I've done for the band. Sam actually made a copy of it for my birthday for last year.
Oh yeah. I forgot about the crazy
birthday shirt, which is awesome. Yeah. But speaking of designs that you guys did for us, you guys did a DX design for us when we were breaking up that we printed like 30 of, and so we brought it to one show, sold almost all of them at the show, and then I posted that I had a few left over on the way home from the show and then sold them all on the way home from the show.
That's sick.
So
that's an awesome design.
like that's what I mean. Like those two designs, like not many people even have them.
Yeah, like, the DX one, that went under the radar. That was a great design. That made so much sense for you as like a wrestling and like a straight edge design. Yeah. I'm like, this is just perfect.
And it's updated. So even people that own it, the old one, it's different. So it's so funny because like Sam like hid from me for a few years that she like liked like Cold Water Army, like the album. and she's like, yeah, I've like listened to it for like years. Like it's awesome. And I'm like, I just think she didn't want to admit that to me because I think I'm so proud of that album because obviously like I had a big hand in like the concept and the writing and everything like that.
Right.
So I was like, that's like my favorite thing I've ever done musically, like ever.
Right.
Like, so I was like, cool. So it's funny. But she's like, yeah, we need everything.
Yeah.
In your drop, just your drop. Like, and I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm not mad.
That's the thing with the Mistkiller drop. We did two anime reprints and like, I don't like personally, I don't know anything about anime. I know like our fan base liked it a lot. Paul and Cody like loved it and it was cool. But like, I didn't know anything about it. So like when you were talking about reprinting, I'm like, oh, like maybe we can do this one. Like, oh, let's just do the Naruto and the Berserk shirt. I was like, all right, fine. We'll do that. Like, and I mean, they did okay. So I don't think it'd be worth printing any of the other ones I really liked, but it was just funny to get like so excited about it. And they're like, yeah, let's do this. I'm like, no, that's fine. We can do that.
Fine. So is there any like white whale you want to like nab for it, 100%. Or do you not say it and jinx it?
No, because I'm a very confident person, probably borderline arrogant here and there, but I don't care. I want to get
I said fair enough.
Yeah, I want Senseless Fail more than anything. They're my favorite band. I mean, I have two Senseless Fail tattoos. Like I know if I can, like, I know enough, like, I don't know Buddy personally, but I know enough people that do, but I want to get to the point where, you know, they're like aware of the store being like, yeah, I would like to do this. Like, this would be great.
It's like a merch limited kind of thing.
Yeah. Like if I did like Let It Enfold You or like From the Depths of Dreams, like reprints or like, thinking, designs, honestly, like Sean, I'm going to retire. I'm not even kidding. I like it's, yeah. It can't get any better. I got a Senseless Fail tattoo here. I have a Let It Enfold You board right up here. Like that's my favorite of all time. Like, If I get them, I mean, Cody's also like him and I went to the Let It Unfold You 10-year show in Pittsburgh. Like that's, you know, him and I are both diehard Senseless Fail fans. So yeah. I think we're both in agreement. Like even if we like if they are somehow on our next drop, like, sorry, you only get 5 drops. It's over. Like, I'm not going to be able to top that at all. Like they're definitely my number one I want to get. I mean, there's a lot of other bands I've like liked for years. I'd like to get, you know, it'd be cool to see like bands I grew up on. Like it'd be cool to get like the Devil Wears Prada or something like that. Or, you know, like a band that sort of changed. Or like The Store So Far or something like that, you know, bands that are really important to me and like for what I grew up on. But you know, we're not like really closed off to anything. Like I'd like to spread out a little bit more into like pop punk or something like that. Cause I'm a big pop punk guy. Like I think that'd be fun. It just depends on, you know, who's into it and who's not into it. But I mean, Senseless Fail is the number one white whale though. They're, They're going to be my target.
You know, I love that band too. Like, I listened to them when I was 13 years old. They're like one of the first, like, other than like Killswitch and 18 Visions, they were the first like not metalcore heavy band. It was like them and Silverstein that I listened to when I was younger. And I've loved music like that ever since. Like, my top 10 for last year was all bands that sound like they're from like 2014. Like, almost all.
It's funny right now. There's so many of these like bands that are just doing stuff that I used to love. And I'm like, all right, this is fine now. Like, I used to not like that, but like now I'm like, all right, I'm over whatever ego I used to have. I just don't care.
If a band sounds like early 2000s, it's like almost a guarantee I'll like them. Yeah. Like Third Nights of Violence, their new EP was sick. Like Static Dress wasn't on my top 10, but they were my like most listened to songs, but they didn't put out a record. So I couldn't, they only put out singles, but that band is like my favorite band. Like, that band is amazing.
And shout out to Tom. He bought some from our store. Good guy.
Hell yeah. Like In Spirit, the new old Vanna is.
Yeah. That band's sick.
Like, it's so funny, 'cause it's like them and Trove exist, and they're like the, Trove is almost like the lighter sides of Vanna, and then In Spirit's like the heavier side of Vanna. It's like such a cool, like,
and you get both, like,
split off the yin yang of it. It's so cool.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it just bands like that are awesome. I love them.
Yeah, I mean, if I Die First band, that band's pretty cool too. That band is like
fucking sick, and they're members of Glass. So, like, I love First Glass. So
it's very cool. There's a lot of these bands that are coming back that are just doing stuff like, even like As Much Hate As It Gets, like that new like MGK record, as corny as he is, dude, so good. Like, I watched, like, he was on Saturday Night Live last night. I watched him perform. Like, this guy's like, he knows like exactly what he's going for. He's going at people like our age that are like, I remember being a teenager and like loving the Super Simple Stuff. But even though like hot take, I'm not a big Blink-182 fan. I don't really care for them as a whole, but I like him more than I like Blink-182. Like, it's a bad thing to say, but you know, it's just my opinion, and he's doing a lot.
Idiot, though, the shit he said is stupid as fuck, but his record is like that song with him and Halsey. I was like, I wish Halsey fronted a pop up band.
Paramore had
Halsey.
Yeah, like I never really cared for him until we went to Rock on the Range in 2018. And we were just like chilling at one point. There was like no bands we really wanted to see. So we went and sat in like the stadium, and he was on. And I'm like, oh, like, this is going to be interesting. Like, working at Hot Topic, dealing with the type of people that buy MGK merch. I'm like, this is going to be fucking awful. And he starts performing. I'm like, this dude's like, you know, he's nuts. You know, he's going out like a rock star. Like, he's playing songs that I don't really care to listen to, but I want to see him perform them. Yeah, so I sort of stayed up to par on him. And then he was like, doing like a podcast circuit earlier this year, talking about some of his new music. And like, you know, you see a bunch of like, you know, the normies in, you know, a podcast. So like, oh, it's like punk rock. I'm like, I want to check this out. Like, what is it really? And I'm like, oh, I'm like, no, this just sounds like what I would have bought at like Sam Goody in 2004.
Like, yeah. It's an old school pop punk record.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's like a throwback.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying what he's doing. It's just, you know, it's just cool seeing people embrace that older stuff. I know, like, even like Hayley Williams right now, she's like super active on social media, talking to people, like covering stuff. Like, it's just cool to see those
out now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's doing great. You know, still a Paramore, obviously. But
I got to see Paramore at the amphitheater a few summers ago.
And one of the bands. They're one of the bands on my bucket list I need to see. I haven't seen them yet.
Dude, I saw them in Utica. There's like this, it's called The Odd, and it's like where the semi-pro hockey team plays and stuff. It's where my college graduation was too. But I saw them, The Starting Line, and Set Your Goals in 2008 or 7. And like, no one knew who Set Your Goals were. Like, no one. Like, I knew one song back then.
That would have been awesome.
I think they had the Mutiny EP like out, and that was it or something like that. But it was like right before Riot came out. I don't think Riot was even out yet. And then I saw them right after Riot came out at Warped. And I think that last time I saw them a few years ago is the first time I saw them since that, I think.
That's crazy.
It was awesome to see, because even that, it was like, it's an auditorium, so it's like, you know,
it wasn't small, it was
big as fuck. But I think that was one of the quote-unquote bigger shows I've ever went to, I think.
That's awesome. Back
then, I think. But yeah, that was cool to see them like that. And then you see them at Warp and they're playing to a literal sea of people. Because it was right after Riot came out when they first started like blowing up. And I was always a Starting Line fan too, so seeing Starting Line was cool too.
That's a band you've seen. They're another one I haven't seen before. I would love to see them.
I've seen them twice, I think.
I think if all those like old Drive Thru Records bands would just do like a fest of just like drive, like when everything's normal, just like a Drive Thru Records, like 99 to like 05. Like I'd pay any amount of money to go there and just, you know, I'd get the skinniest pair of jeans I could fit in. I'd go all out for it, man. I'd get a studded belt and everything. I'd go in character.
Okay, so we said we had to talk about this, so I want to end it.
Oh yeah.
In the infamous Ghost Ship iMatter story. This is the first time we played iMatter, right? Is when this happened?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out today. I was going over the outline. I was like,
something.
Yeah. Yeah,
2013.
Yeah.
So yeah, we played. It was our first EP with Keith. We dropped it at iMatter. And we sold a fuck ton of fucking merch there. It was awesome. Super cool. iMatter is still one of my favorite things I've ever played. We played it twice. Lucky enough to play it twice. We're one of the very few bands that play it twice. And
we also play it twice. So we're one of the few. I got both flyers
up there. I hold that near dear to my heart because I love that fest. And obviously,
that's the last time I moshed, actually, was you guys too. And iMatter in 2015, yeah.
Wow, all right.
Last time, yep. And I did not feel well the next day. After playing and then right after, I was down.
I believe it. I mean, I've been to iMatter every year since we played, so I think so, yeah. So I mean, obviously it didn't happen. I would have been there last year if it happened. I had two bands on it, so.
Oh man, it was such a good lineup. I was just going through my time off of it.
Very stoked about it. But so yes. Go ship iMatter story. This is a good one.
Yes. Yeah, so you want me to take it away?
Oh yeah, it's all you.
Sure. All right. So I am a assistant manager at a Hot Topic in 2013 here in good old Horseheads, New York. And this girl and her boyfriend roll in, and the girl's wearing a Ghost Ship DX shirt. And I'm like, oh, cool. I designed that shirt. Like I'm gonna, you know, that's at the time too. I was like, oh cool, it's my design. I'm gonna say something about it. Or no, maybe it wasn't the DX shirt. It was a Ghost Ship shirt, I know. And I pointed it out and I'm like, hey, I know those guys. I'm like, I did that shirt. Like, this is really cool. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I love these guys. I saw them on iMatter. Like, they were so good. I was like, yeah, it was great. You know, I had to leave early. I was bummed I couldn't see them, but it was cool. She's like, yeah. She's like, I was hanging out with them backstage. And at this time for iMatter, it was a giant field. And there wasn't really a backstage. There was like areas where you could park your car, but there wasn't like these, you know, rock and roll green rooms that everyone pictures when they see backstage.
The parking lot behind the stage for the bands. And that's what it was.
Yeah. So there wasn't like a backstage area where you're back there doing, you know, whatever. And she's like talking about, you know, talking to you guys, saying how cool you are and everything and how much fun you guys had hanging out. And she's like, yeah, she's like, we got so high. And I'm like, oh yeah, really? I'm like, that's crazy. She's like, yeah. She's like, we got so high. She's like, we were just backstage. She's like, we were smoking so much. She's like, I don't even know how long we were back there. We were having such a good time, yada, yada, yada. And she's talking. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, you got really, you know, you got real fucked up on them, right? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, what do you think the X's are in that shirt? I'm like, well, they're a straight edge band. She's like, yeah. I was like, well, what do you think the X's stand for? She's like, well, it's because you're so hardcore. this is her explanation of how this band with three X's, this hardcore band with three X's on their shirt, how she got so fucked up with them. And I'm thinking, like, there's like a 99.9% chance she's lying, and the off chance that somehow all of you broke edge at iMatter, I didn't think would happen.
In the backstage area.
Yeah, in the backstage area that doesn't even exist. In a family park of all places. Like it's not like that park was even shut down. Like people were still doing normal things.
And it was kind of like a Christian fest before that. We were the first, like us and Sirens and Sailors were like the first like non-Christian bands that played.
Yep, that year, 2013 was the first year we did non-Christian bands on it. Yeah, so it was very funny.
That could even happen.
Dude, anyway. It was so funny. And she just like said it to me. And I remember like talking to you about it. It was just the craziest thing. Like thinking that like, people make up stories all the time and, you know, it's whatever. It was hung out with this band, that band, you know, this girl, that guy, whatever. But just like, just such a hilariously untrue story to not even like slightly research that. You could say they did it with any other band and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, like I'm not going to say members of my band haven't done similar things at festivals that may or may not have been iMatter, but it's just, you know, what it is. And it's just the idea that it was you guys, you know, especially you, like at the time, like long hair Sean Mott getting stoned at the backstage of iMatter would be fucking hilarious.
After our set, I felt like my neck was going to fall off my body. So,
dude, I believe it.
I don't even
that
know.
That was the old days with the big stage and everything. Like, yeah,
stage was huge. And I was like, I'm going to use this fucking stage.
And that's the one we played in 2018, dude. Like, when we played that stage, like, I'm like, my drums are on that stage, and like Aaron Gillespie's drums are like right next to me. I'm like, yeah. This is fucking nuts. I'm like, I have no business being on the stage right now. It was crazy. That was a good time.
Yeah, I love that story. It's so funny. I remember you texted me, and I was like, what?
I was like, you're not going to believe this at all.
I kind of forgot about the so hardcore part, but now you're telling me, I remembered how funny it was back then too.
And while I was like going through, I was reading the outline over. I'm like, all right, I want to make sure I understand everything before we do this. And I was like, I'm at her ghost ship story. I was like, I haven't told that story in a long time. And then Kendall was like, what's that story? I was like, I haven't even told you that story. it was a crazy time though.
Awesome. So before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to plug other than the store that you got going on?
I mean, I don't think so. Just, you know, right now with everything going on, you know, just be safe, be smart, support people as much as you can, whether they're a band or a small business or whatever. You know, do whatever you can to help out people who are struggling right now, because everyone is, no matter how much they want to put on about it. Whether it's, you know, someone that owns their own business or just, you know, normal everyday life, everything's crazy right now. So support what you can, just be a good person.
Yeah, it's wild times right now.
It is.
For sure. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for sitting down with me and having this talk.
And thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah. And thanks for having Ghost Ship on the drop. I'm very excited to see how it goes. And yes. I can't wait to own a lot of my old merch that I don't own.
I'm probably going
to
own a lot of it too. So we will there is a
long haired I'm not sure. So you
can, yes, it's a relic. You'll never see it again.
No, probably not. We sold a lot of those. We printed that in like a million different colors. So.
Dude, I don't blame you. That the hair takes up like 60%.
Oh, man. People like it.
Yeah.
It's all the hair. Yeah.
Your Sean Mott merch before it's gone.
Yeah. You're not going to be able to do it again.
It might actually be gone forever.
It's very, very true. I don't foresee it being remade again. That's for sure. Yeah. Like Joey said, pointblank.graphics.com. A lot of awesome bands other than Ghost Ship on this merch. So just go support something on this. Like Joey said, just be an awesome person, wear a fucking mask, don't be an asshole, and that's it. If you want to support the podcast, you can subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, all the social medias at Metalcore Nerds, and that's it for this one. See you guys later.